This evening we're looking into Nehemiah, and we are still in a very short time period from the beginning of this book. If you remember, the wall was built in those 52 days, and then there was a bit of, how would you say it, rejoicing only a few weeks later. And then a couple of weeks after that, there was another time of not rejoicing, but mourning over their sin. And last week we saw the covenant that the people made, a covenant to obey God. And before we go into chapter 11, I want us to see in chapter 10 the intention of the people of God in making that oath. We won't reiterate the oath-taking message. We just let it be known that we need to say yes or no, and there's very few occasions that we need an oath. But here is their reason. At the end of Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 39, it says, "And we will not forsake the house of our God." This was the purpose for making that covenant, that promise to God. They did not want to forsake the house of their God. This was not because the building was amazing. This was not because it was theirs as opposed to someone else's. But no, it was because the house of their God was where they met with God. In other words, this was a promise, a set of promises they made so that they would not leave their love for God. We have then in chapter 11 a repopulating of the cities, again being listed out, who is sent to where, and we will quickly read through some of this. But I want us to see that this is all happening within a short space of time. We're still not even half a year into Nehemiah's quick trip. He's only been there a short time, and all of these things have happened. It has been quite a big deal. So we'll begin reading in Nehemiah chapter 11 in verse 1. "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt every one in his possession in their cities. To wit, that is, in example, Israel, the priests and the Levites and the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah and of the children of Benjamin. Of the children of Judah there was Athaliah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephathiah, the son of Mahalalel, of the children of Perez, and Maaseiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kolhoseh, the son of Hazai, the son of Adahai, the son of Joyarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of Shiloni. All the sons of Perez that dwelt at Jerusalem were 408 valiant men. And these are the sons of Benjamin: Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Pediah, the son of Koliah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Jesiah. And after him, Gabai, Salai, and 928. And Joel, the son of Zikri, was their overseer. And Judah, the son of Senua, was second over the city. Of the priests, Jediah, the son of Joirib, Jekin. Seraiah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meredoth, the son of Atub, was the ruler of the house of God." We'll take a pause there so I can catch my breath. So far, we've seen people from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, as well as priests, that is, of the tribe of Levite. And we've seen a few individuals mentioned, as well as the heads of households, so whole groups. And we've had a couple listings of the names of the people who were willing to stay God is making a big deal of this because these were the ones who volunteered or who were appointed to fill out the city, to hold it and to make it strong. And in that verse 11, we do see the ruler of the house of God. This must have been a position of great responsibility, and it fits right in with the theme from the last chapter, that the people wanted to make sure that God was able to be worshipped. And so we continue on then in verse 12. And their brethren that did the work of the house were 822, and Adiah the son of Jerome, the son of Peliah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Malchi, and his brethren, chief of the fathers, 242, and Amashi, the son of Azareel, the son of Ahashai, the son of Meshilamoth, the son of Immer, and their brethren, mighty men of valor, 128, and their overseer was Zabdiel, the son of one of the great men. We'll pause there for just a second. We have here a number of men of the priests who are described as chief of the fathers and mighty men of valor. This was important. If you are going to have a city that's going to hold its walls, if you are going to have a city that was going to be strong, you needed people around who were mighty men of valor, strong and fit and ready to defend the city. And if the city fell, the temple could not be worshipped at. So we'll continue on. Verse 15. Also of the Levites, Shemaiah the son of Hashub, the son of Azrikam, the son of Hashbiah, the son of Bunni, and Shabbathai and Jozabad, of the chief of the Levites, had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. You may notice again, all through this list, it might seem like it's kind of a boring list of names, but we have over and over again, the focus is, how is the city going to be protected? How is the service of God going to be continued? So here, the outward business of the house of God, this might have included things like purchasing garments for the priests, or maybe even washing the garments of the priests. Making sacrifices was a very messy business. So this was an important role that needed to be filled. We'll continue on. Verse 17. And Mattenai, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. We will come back to that. So maybe mark that one in your mind. Verse 17. The principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer, and Bakbukah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shemua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, all the Levites in the holy city were 284. Moreover, the porters, Akub, Talmon, and their brethren that kept the gates were 172. And the residue of Israel, of the priests, the Levites, were in the cities of Judah, everyone in his inheritance. But the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, and Ziha and Gispa were over the Nethinims. The overseer also of the Levites at Jerusalem was Uzzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashbiah, the son of Mattani, the son of Micah, of the sons of Asaph. The singers were over the business of the house of God. We see again this, the singers, we'll come back to them as well very shortly. Verse 23. For it was the king's commandment concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers due for every day. This command of the king was actually not a king of Israel, but rather the king who is named in Ezra, makes this command. So this is not a Jewish person making this command. This is a foreign king who's saying, if there's going to be a temple in Jerusalem that we're going to help set up, it's going to have singers there. And so we're going to pay for that. So this was something that was supposed to be supplied by order of king, the Babylonian or Persian king, do every day. Verse 24. And Pethaliah, the son of Meshezabeel, of the children of Zerah, the son of Judah, was at the king's hand in all matters concerning the people. And now we've got through most of those names. We see that they have villages that they are sent to. These villages are places where they are sent. And if you notice, they are villages of the children of Judah in verse 25. And in verse 36, we are told that the Levites were divided, or divisions in Judah and in Benjamin. We do not have a mention here of the 12 tribes, but rather just two. It is a remnant, a very small portion that had been returned. And all through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we have much mention of people from Judah and of Benjamin, but very little from the other tribes that made it out, because they had been in captivity much longer. They had mixed in with the Babylonians, their captors, and they had lost much and been scattered very far and very wide. Now we're going to jump down to Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27. And we read that first set with all of the different people because it mentions the singers and those who were appointed to the house. But now we find why they're being mentioned by name in verse 27 of Nehemiah chapter 12. And at the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, which is a hard one to say, also from the house of Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went, and we're going to skip the list of people who went with them. And then we're going to jump down to verse 38. Because we'll look at that in a moment. But in verse 38, and the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and half the people on the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. And the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elonai, Zechariah, and Hanani with the trumpeters. And Maaseiah and Shemaiah and Eleazar and Uzi and Johanan and Malchah and Elam and Ezer, and the singers sang loud, and Jezra their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers. Oh, no, wait, sorry, we're stopping there. The joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. We have here, the wall had been built. There had been a time of rededication to God. They had repented of sins. They had made promises to God. And then they rededicated the wall. They dedicated the wall of Jerusalem. They basically had a big party to give thanks to God over the establishment of this city. Now, it was a few days after the previous time. We're not told the exact time frame, but it was enough time for everyone to go to their cities and then come back. So there was at least a few days in between. This dedication of the wall was big. It was a big celebration. This is what we need to do as well. I'm not saying that we need to split the congregation in half and sing, although we could do that. I know of at least one song where we do that. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, you know, and make it very loud, singing praise to God. But that's what they did. They sang in two companies. This was in copying of what they did all throughout their history. In Moses' day, on two mountains, they yelled out the laws of God and then gave praise to God for who he was. And all the way through to this point, this was how they would sing. This was how they would praise. Two sides, and they were up on the walls, and it shows them standing in big groups on the top of the walls, giving thanks to God. That was their reason for being there. In verse 40, it says that they gave thanks in the house of God. The two companies of them yelling out their praise, singing it out loudly. This is their reason for being there. And in fact, if you were listening all the way through, we had certain groups with trumpets. We had certain groups who were singing loudly. And even in verse 43, the women and the children also joined in. They made a very big noise. This is the main purpose of this chapter in chapter 12. Nehemiah 12 is about dedicating the wall. They were dedicating it in praise to God. They were not saying to the tribe, to the enemies around them, remember, they had been fought at every step of the way. Tobiah, Sanballat, maybe you remember those names. Those guys, they were always opposing them. They didn't look out over the wall and taunt them. Instead, they yelled praise to God, and it was heard afar off. I really like that phrase that the sound of their joy was heard afar off. Hopefully, when we are singing praises, it is heard by those far and near. We should try and get people here to hear it. And sometimes we open up the doors and maybe we need to sing louder so people in Melinda can hear the joy that we have over what God has done. They rejoiced, and their rejoicing was great because God had made them to rejoice with great joy. Each one of us sees God do great things. We ask him in prayer for things that we need, for things that other people need, and when he answers, and that wall that couldn't be built was built in 52 days, and then it was filled with people, a city that was empty, we can join together and say, praise God, he has done this wonderful thing. We have, as I mentioned before, we have a bunch of different people in chapter 11 whose purpose was to sing or to bring thanksgiving to God for what he had done, and this was their first opportunity. Up to this point, they had been doing service for God, sacrifices, or preaching the word, telling the word to those around and explaining it. But now they had an opportunity to praise God, and so they all joined in. It was a large group of people. It wasn't just one or the other. It was everyone joined in. We should encourage one another to improve or to train up or practice or get ready to sing to God, to praise him. We are told that in heaven we will be singing praises to God. We'll be surrounding his throne and praising him. That's one of the things we're going to be doing for all eternity. So we better get ready now. We will have a better body and hopefully we'll all sound just a little bit better than we do now. But we can get some practice in now to praise our Lord. If we go now to Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 45, we see that singers and porters were very important in all of this process. And we need to understand what singers and porters are first. Singers were people who were singing. That one's pretty obvious. But what is a porter? A porter is someone who carries burdens. It's like someone who carries the wood up the hill and brings it to the temple. Or someone who carries the water that they needed to pour into the basins so that they could wash their hands in the manner prescribed. These were laborers. These were not the priests who are doing the sacrifices, but they were the ones doing all of the service work. It says in verse 45 that the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God. That is, they protected the service of God. And the ward of the purification. That is, they looked to one another and kept each other accountable for being pure in their service towards God. Each one of us have this responsibility. We have the responsibility to do those service kinds of things for God. We bear the water for other people. We help them. We carry their requests to God in prayer. But each one of us also need to be keeping an eye on each other to make sure that we are doing it with a pure heart. We do not have a laver up the back here where we wash our hands ceremonially. But we do need to wash our hearts and come to God with a pure heart, serving Him not in sin, not in with a mouth that is speaking good things and bad things, not full of bitter and sweet, but rather one full of praise of God. They were careful to protect the service of God. They were watching out. Each one of us can have that role. Now, I do want to just caution here, do not become one of those persons who has a checklist and checks everybody off. Oh, yeah, you came 2 seconds late. You're on the naughty list. No, don't do that. Don't go that route. We're not legalistic here. But if you see someone's heart is going the wrong way, they seem to have lost their fervor, their love for God, or they are turning their back on that which is good, and they are trying to worship God in an improper manner, then warn them. Guard the service that we have towards God. Make sure it's as pure as we can make it. A song lifted up to God is only as good as the hearts of those who are singing it. We find in verse 45 that they kept the ward, that is the protection of their God and of the purification. This was according to the commandment of David and Solomon, his son. This wasn't something they came up with, but it was a task they took on them. This has a great deal of wisdom, and that is something we would understand, considering David was a man after God's own heart, and Solomon was so wise. They knew that while the priest might have something go on behind his back that he doesn't realize, the people who are carrying the water, they know what's going on. The people who are carrying the burdens and prepping in the back rooms, they're the ones who know what evil and what bad attitudes are going on, and they can step in then and say, no, this isn't right. In other words, if you see sin, you need to stop sin, otherwise it will hurt our praise of God. In verse 46, we have, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." This is pointing back to the book of Psalms. That's what we call it, and that's what they were pointing back to here. They were reliving those old songs of praise. We should have new songs of praise. We should. There should be so much joy in our lives, so much love for God, that new songs are being written. But that does not mean we should throw off old songs, because old songs express what God has done in the past. If we were to take a quick trip through Psalms, we would find a heart of someone who relied upon God, someone who looked to God at every point, whether it was the worst day of their life or the best day of their life, they looked to God. That we would see in Psalms a continual reliance upon God for all that was needed. We would see psalms of repentance, psalms of fear, psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of love towards God, love towards His Word. We can go on. That's the kind of thing that are being promoted in the book of Psalms. And here the people are pointing back to that and saying, you know, that's worth keeping. That's worth continuing. That's worth joining in those songs of praise that were sung in the past. We don't have a Psalter here. I've been in a few churches that did. They have a book of Psalms set to music so you can sing them. And it's not a bad thing to do. And some of our hymns are based on Psalms, and it's very good. It warms our understanding and our love for God. But we should not turn our back on praising God in an old way just because it's old. This was a long time after David and Asaph were around. It was, what, almost 1,000 years previously that David had been around. So when you're talking about old, that's old. We don't sing too many hymns that are that old. We have a few that are really old. But here they were singing songs of praise and thanksgiving to God that were old, but still applied. In verse 47, we find the end result of this loud praise and this praise that's full of the old songs, this praise that was protected and holy, coming from holy hearts that were set apart unto God. In verse 47, all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. We have here a statement that just says the worship at the temple and in Jerusalem continued every day. So there was these two groups that got up on the walls and they praised God, and the joy was heard even afar off. And then after they got down and went home, there were still some singing and praising every day in that city around that temple. There was still praising of God, an echo. It might have been a quiet echo when you go from thousands in your choir to only a couple, 100 at the most, you're like, that's a big change. But there still was this echo, this praise of God going forth day after day after day. It was a renewed worship. Now, today we have a very mixed up view of worship, and we've talked about that, how worship is truly an attitude of the heart and not a particular style or music in particular, but rather it is bowing ourselves to God. But our heart attitude should include thanksgiving to God and songs of praises on a daily basis. Sometimes my children are a rebuke to me because I'm going day after day, and then one of them will pipe up and start singing the song that the choir sang the week before. That is a challenge to my heart, because I wasn't singing that song. I wasn't singing it in my heart or anywhere else that day. And they did. Children are a little bit better at that, just repeating things over and over and over again. But each of us should be repeating the praise and the thanksgiving that we have towards God, not just on Sundays, but every day. We should lift up our voices in praise to God We should sing to Him, even if it's just songs in our heart. We should be lifting that praise up to God every day. So we've seen the dedication of the wall. The people were dedicated. The wall was built and worship could occur. Remember, only a few short months before this and a few short months ago, when we first saw Nehemiah going and there was no wall built, the people of God had a temple and they could not worship at it. They were being oppressed and annoyed by all of the nations around them, and they were unable to worship God. And now, only a few short months later, they are praising God every day. They are bringing sacrifices to Him, and they are able to express their joy and thanksgiving to Him every single day. We have it better than the people of Israel in Nehemiah's day. We do not have to go to a specific place to worship and praise God, because we are told that God is in us, that Jesus is in our hearts, taking up residence there. The Holy Spirit is within us. We are able to praise God because He is there. Even if we were thrown in prison because of our beliefs, yet we could praise God as Paul and Silas did. They were bound hand and foot, and they praised God in song at midnight. Well, that's not my favorite time to praise God, but at midnight in chains, they praised God. We can praise God literally anywhere, anytime, because He resides within us. And just so you know, His change in our lives is much greater of a miracle than the miracle of building that wall in 52 days. His miracle of filling us with godly desires and character is much more amazing than Him filling the city of Jerusalem with people who were desirous of serving Him. It is more of a miracle that we can love and serve God. Therefore, we should not stop praising Him. We see how much effort they went to, listing out all of the people they could bring and getting them prepared. I don't know how many practices they had, but they all put their cities right around the city of Jerusalem, their little villages, so they could practice singing, so they'd be ready for this dedication, so they'd be ready to restore the worship at the temple. How much more should we prepare our hearts to praise God every single day? I think there's no excuse. We should praise Him. So tonight, I think we should have one more song. Isaac, if you wanted to come up, and if we have someone to come to the piano. There you are. So we're going to finish with a hymn, and we'll go out after that.